So I'm just going
to... Blog Talk Radio.
Radio with Dr. Pat Holliday, Dr. Sabrina, and Brother Marshall. It's a pleasure and an honor to have you join us here tonight as we worship the Lord, seek His face, become encouraged in His word, and get delivered too. What about that? Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just give you praise, glory, and honor. We thank you for all that you are to us. You are our blessed hope. We give you praise, glory, and honor for the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we bless the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your protection around us, for your care of us, for your attention to every detail. You say even the hairs of our heads are numbered. We thank you, Father, that you know all about our quirks and our little differences, yet you love us all the same. You have a unique way of speaking to each of us through your word. And we thank you, Lord, for the many ways that you speak to us through dreams, through the unction of the Holy Spirit, through the inner witness, through your word, through preaching and through teaching of your word. We thank you that you are so generous with your grace and with your mercy. We thank you that you foster the blessings of God in our lives, and that you help us on this journey as we approach the end of the season where men will be able to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We thank you, Lord, that you have called us into your kingdom, and we give you praise, glory, and honor for the many more that will come in. We thank you for the harvest. We thank you, Lord, for the sheaves that are coming in, and we give you praise and glory and honor for all that you have done to bring them into the kingdom. We lift up Blog Talk Radio to you, Father, and we thank you, Lord, for blessing us, for helping us at every stage or barrier. We thank you, Lord, for the transition into a better chat room in Jesus' name. We thank you for our loyal listeners and faithful supporters. We thank you for their financial support and their prayer support and their participation as we go forward in the things of God. We thank you for this assembly of faith that you have gathered here, even on the internet. This is our church, and we give you praise and glory and honor for it. We thank you for blessing each person that comes up on a regular basis, Father, and for all the new people, and for some of our returning persons. We thank you for those as well. We ask you, Lord, to continue to deal in their lives and to bring them back on the radio, Lord God, and into the chat room, and to call us when they need prayer. We give you praise for the many blessings that you've done. We thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the warring angels that you have dispatched to war on our behalf in Jesus' name. We thank you for the many victories that we have received and the answers that we have received to our prayer requests. We thank you, Lord, for your bounty and for your benefits and for your blessings. Now, Father, from our position seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, we take authority, dominion, and power over all the works of the devil. Every evil work that has been worked against this ministry or against its participants, we bind, cage, and chain in Jesus' name. We thank you for the purity of your word. We thank you that your word is strong here. We thank you that we don't back down from the devil. Rather, we trample on scorpions. We give you praise, glory, and honor for all that you've done for us, Father. And we know that you will continue to uphold us with the right hand of your righteousness. We look forward to the day, Father, when we will see you face to face. But until that time, we continue to work in your vineyard, giving your people your word that they may become strong in the Spirit, Father. We give you praise for their growth and development. We give you praise for their willingness to call up when it's time for prayer. We give you praise for their agreement in prayer when we pray for others. We thank you for the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us. And we thank you for the financial blessing that we are about to receive. And we give you praise yet more because you are worthy to receive glory and blessing and praise and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, praise the Lord. Dr. Sabrina, did you have a good week this week?
Yes, I did.
Well, that's
yes,
good news. That's always good news.
Always.
Yes, we're going to talk about a very important scripture tonight because of the fact that I think just so many people have the spirit of fear. And some of them, they actually don't realize that that's what's wrong with them. And, you know, that spirit of fear, it comes from so many places that it can nestle up in your mind and in your spirit and cause you to have great many problems. Because truthfully, according to the Word of God, fear is the opposite of faith. Amen?
Amen.
And apprehension or dread of an impending danger or trouble. Also, fear is connected with awe, A-W-E, profound reverence, especially toward God. And great stress can be laid upon the fear of God as necessary adjunct to the relations between humanity and deity. You see, even though people ignore God, and if they've never been saved, deep down in their spirit and in their heart, they know there's a God. And let me see if I can remember that story. You know Darwin? Darwin was a Christian before he became an atheist. And towards the end of his life, he made a statement that he believed that there was a hereafter and that Jesus was Lord of that hereafter. And it looked to me like I don't have it in front of me, so I'm paraphrasing it. It looked to me like he had some sort of a repentance for writing that book, but we'll not know that until we get into the kingdom, because you see, we're not supposed to judge other people's souls, actually. Even when they die, even when they're alive, we are not supposed to judge them because of the fact that Jesus Christ is our judge. And he's the judge of every human being, and he's the judge of every devil. And we'll know at the judgment seat who really is saved and who isn't saved. We will know who the hypocrites are and who the rebellious people are. There's no question about that. So as Christians, we have to restrain from reading and judging somebody's heart, because you see, now, here's what the Word says over in Job 28, verse 28. It said, "And unto man, he said," and God's talking here, "Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding." And so God knows, you know, that human beings are very frail, and he wants to give us every advantage of coming into the faith. And, of course, fear will keep you from faith. And so faith is given by the Spirit of God. And let me get you that scripture just one moment. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, "And my speech and my preaching was without enticing words of man's knowledge, but in the demonstration of the Spirit of power, that is, your faith should not stand on the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." And so, you see, God fully intended us to have a relationship with him, and he intended us to have faith because he is the giver of faith. If you look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, the Bible says, to another by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. So faith is a gift from God for you to have faith for yourself, and is also a gift of God for a person to be able to receive the nine gifts of the Spirit shown over in 1 Corinthians. And it also takes faith for the person sometime to receive the gift. Sometimes God will do a miracle just instantaneous. And other times it seems that some of us have to work for it, because God is creating a relationship between his people and between himself. Now, you see, there's also something called the nature of faith. And in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, the Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And so we see by this scripture that in order to have faith, you have to believe, because when you believe that God is able to do something, you see, then that encourages hope to rise up into your heart, and then you begin to look for that hope to manifest itself. And every Christian minister that is real, their ministry must move along the highway of faith. Otherwise, you're not going to receive very much from the Lord. If you just depending on what you think you know, then you could get in grave danger. And so the other thing I wanted to say before we get to the fear part, I want you to know that faith stands with salvation. Now, there's such a thing as natural faith. You have natural faith when you wake up in the morning that you're going to get up and eat breakfast. You just wake up and say, oh, I'm going to go eat breakfast. And you get out of the bed and you go eat breakfast, and you have faith that you will be able to fix your breakfast. You have faith that you're going to go out and get in your car and turn the motor on, and you have faith to go wherever it is that you're going. There's natural faith, and there's natural beliefs in yourself and your own self-abilities. But we're talking about supernatural faith tonight. And that supernatural faith has to rely on the fact that you belong to Jesus if you're a Christian. And you have to rely on Jesus in faith, for Jesus Christ connects his will and his presence to you whenever you connect in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. According to Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And so you also have faith in whatever choice you have made. If you have chosen the devil to follow, you have faith that the devil is going to give you all of those promises that he has told you and shown you that he was going to give. Well, the truth is, the devil is a liar. Jesus said that he is a liar and the father of it. And I've ministered over the years to many people that came out of cults and many people that came out of witchcraft and some wizards. And they all believe the lie of the devil. Believe me, they do. I remember a man that we ministered to many, many years ago. And I've talked to you about him several times. And I call him Daniel in the book, but that's not his real name. But this man was studying to be a minister. And he sent away to get some stuff on witchcraft because he thought it would be something good to talk about. I'll say this to you before we go further with this. Back in the 70s, America was still pretty pure as far as Christianity goes in that none of the churches knew anything at all about witchcraft except maybe the cartoons of Disney World, and they fully didn't understand what they were looking at then. They didn't understand that Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs was about a bunch of little devils that came and found her asleep in the forest. They didn't understand that all of those fairy tales that were being put together by Walt Disney and his crew, all were based on witchcraft. And you see, I believe that they had a knowledge of witchcraft. I don't think it was an accidental thing. And it was used to convert Americans to engage in witchcraft, although they unknowingly knew that that's what they were doing. But they were by participating in those things. And so the fact that none of the churches knew very much about witchcraft at all, and they just said, we don't have to think about that because we're saved, and we don't have to think about anything about the devil because we're giving allegiance to him if we even think about him. That was sort of the doctrine. And all of the pastors, all of the Christians had that little tiny belief system. And back before the 60s and the 70s, that may have been somewhat true. But after the 70s and the 60s, and people began to engage in witchcraft and sci-fi movies, and they began to implant a lot of stuff in the babies, the young people's cartoons concerning witchcraft, all kinds of television sitcoms like
Bewitched,
and things like that, and it was feeding a steady stream of witchcraft to the kids of America. And so I just said that because this Daniel was a young man, and he had read the cartoons, the funny books, I think they called them, and probably had gone to see some Walt Disney movies. And he was a young man. He was probably about 17 or 18 years old. And he decided that he would send off and get some ads from newspapers and from magazines concerning witchcraft. And actually, he said that he sent away to one magazine and got a book concerning witchcraft because he wanted to be able to preach about it to the young people. Well, he said within 6 months he was getting witchcraft paraphernalia from all around the world. Now, but when he was studying to be a preacher before he sent away, he had an altar set up in his extra room there, and he had all of his books concerning studying for Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And he would go in that altar and worship God and study. Well, after those witchcraft books started coming, he started reading those. And within 6 months, he had torn his altar down to God and lifted up an altar to Satan. And he began to serve Satan 100%, and he called himself a solitary Satanist. And back in those days, we hardly even knew that a Satanist could really be real, because I'd never heard of anything like that before. But we ministered to him, and we went over to that man's house after we did deliverance on him, and there was blood all splattered over the walls and blood on the side of the walls and on the floor. And we took authority and cleaned up the demons and commanded them to get in a cage and made them leave. Well, the truth that we delivered him from that witchcraft power, but it was so rare and so unusual. There was only one other person in the country that claimed to be a former Satanist, and I think that was some guy called Mike Warnke. There were a couple of women that came out and claimed to be real witches. And some of them, a couple of them used to appear on 700 Club and PTL. And so, deliverance, there was only a couple of people running around America like Derek Prince and Lester Summerall and a few people like that were casting out devils. In fact, I could probably only name about three or four at that time. So nobody knew anything about deliverance. Nobody knew anything at all about witchcraft and the occult and how reading books on the occult could be very, very dangerous, mm-hmm. that you could get demon-possessed. And you see, the thing is the people today, they are doing more than just reading books. Mm-hmm. You see, they have let their minds out to Hollywood and television and books and magazines and all sorts of occult paraphernalia. They go into the occult books stores and pick up their books and bring them home and read them. And I'm going to tell you, if you do something like that, you will need deliverance. Whether you think you're a Christian or not, you will need deliverance. There's just absolutely no question about it. Now, also, if you belong to a sect like Jehovah's Witness, the Mormon sect, where you follow after a powerful, mind-controlling people that take authority over your mind, and the next thing you know, you're a puppet, you're a slave to that Christian community. Let me tell you, you must have deliverance to get free from that. I taught on strange altars last Friday night, mm-hmm. and we told you then that if you have been sitting at strange altars, whether it's Hinduism, Santeria, whether it's wizardry, witchcraft, whether it's a religious sect, no matter what it is, you will have to have deliverance. Now, a lot of people become Christians that never get deliverance from their past and those kind of things that they do because of the fact the American church just simply refuses to believe the Word of God, where Jesus' ministry one-third of his ministry involved casting out devils, mm-hmm. along with healing the sick and preaching the gospel and doing miracles. And so they just take out the little pieces of the ministry of the Bible that they want to share, and then what they do is they share those little parts, and it's the truth. It's the Word of God. For instance, the Baptists were very, very into street witnessing and going house to house in America. And they were very interesting in presenting the plan of salvation. And they grew great big churches by just doing that part of the Bible back when. And so the Methodists, very, very wonderful about preaching the gospel, preaching the great gospel that Wakefield and Charles and his brother Wesley's, the Wesley boys presented up and down the East Coast here. And they were preaching the part of the Bible that they knew, and they were preaching it for them, for people to come into the kingdom. And just skipping on ahead, there were a whole group of ministers back in the 50s that started preaching that Jesus was still alive and that he would heal and that he could do miracles. And they went around the country in tents and public buildings because the churches wouldn't open the door for them. And we know the end result. The Pentecostal churches came out of that group, and millions of people have been healed since the 50s just because they saw that in the Bible that Jesus told us over in Mark to go out and preach the gospel and lead the captives free and heal the sick. He told us that several places in the New Testament. So they just did the word, and the word worked. And then the next thing we saw was that the Methodists blessed their hearts. They got a hold to the fact that women were not denied to preach the gospel in the New Testament or the Old Testament.
Yes.
And you cannot find a scripture that says so. I know that they take scriptures, several scriptures, and twist them. But I have a book called Can Women Preach? And if you read that book, you'll see that women can certainly preach. And the first Baptist church in America, by the way, was founded by a man and a woman. And in the very beginning, Baptists used to have women preachers in it, women pastors. And they closed it down when the men began to become pastors and get a hold to it and scream the women out of their inheritances. So let me tell you something. The Bible is not anti-woman at all, but it is anti-devils and it is anti-Satan. So like this young man that we delivered from Satanism back in the 70s, I think it was actually more closer to the 80s. You know, I've been around for some 40 years now. So sometimes my time frames are not exactly accurate anymore. But the thing actually happened. There's still people alive in Jacksonville that saw it. So then I can remember the preachers preaching against television and movies. Don't go to the movie house. They called the television the one-eyed demon. Mm-hmm. Now, most of them have televisions in their own homes. Now, we're talking holiness and Pentecostal preachers here. We're not talking about denominational churches, okay? But what they did is eventually they got more worldly in the Pentecostal churches, and even the preacher went out and bought a television and began to go to the movies, but he wouldn't go to the theaters. He would go to rent the movies. And then when television came along, I mean the internet. Now remember, the internet wasn't around during these days. We actually used to minister without the internet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have about 40 books that I've had in my computer, some of them for years. Many of those books just came from reading and being led by God to speak. The deliverance ministry, I was considered one of the pioneers in the deliverance ministry in the nation. So, we didn't have the internet. And if we had had it, I wouldn't have known how to use it anyway. So, but anyway, God's blessed us with the internet to get the word out. But be very careful. It's a very treacherous place. And the devil has infiltrated many enemies up on the internet to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't just read bad reports about somebody and believe them to be true. Do research and seek God before you judge someone. And only judge them according to what the Bible says for you to do. Now, all of that to tell you this. The movies started putting forth some very radical movies, probably back in the 80s. I'm not real sure exactly when, because I don't go to movies. I haven't been to a movie since before I was born, born again. And they started putting out sci-fi movies and things like that. And then after that, they started putting out computers. Then after that, computer games. And all of these things revolve around people that are manipulating these things to try to get control of the people's mind. So in the background of the computers and in the background of the sitcom shows that you see on television, the background that you see on the internet, you have to be very careful about going to people's sites, for instance. Mm-hmm. I've made a couple of mistakes by going to the wrong sites myself, and I have to pay a price for it, just like you do, in terms of spiritual warfare and other things. But anyway, before I get to the subliminals, the man, the solitary Satanist man, he read those books, and what happened to him was a beautiful lady appeared in front of him. He said that she was the most beautiful lady he had ever seen. And she told him, she said, "I will make you the greatest lover if you will bow down and worship me." And he bowed down and he worshiped her. And so then after that, Satan started just making books appear on his black altar to teach him about Satanism. And he told a story to us once that he said Satan promised him that he would be the mayor of a big city if he would do this certain work for him. And see, back then, we knew that rock music, heavy metal rock music was bad, but we didn't know how bad. We just didn't know very much because there was no internet to find out anything. And if you don't go to television and if you don't watch the movies, you're not going to know very much. And I'm not telling you to watch those things. Stay away from them if you can, because you don't know how to protect yourself. So anyway, Satan told him that he would give him millions of dollars and he would give him a city to rule over out west if he would do this work. And what the work was, he was to do the rituals to bring the rock band, I believe it was Kiss or one of those kind of bands, the Black Sabbath or something like that, into Jacksonville to the Coliseum, and so that all of the Satanists could have a big meeting at the Coliseum. Well, that was the first time I'd ever heard of anything like that. And I was surprised to even know that there were that many Satanists in town back in the early 80s. I think I wrote the book back in the 80s, about 82. I was very surprised to know there were that many. But later, of course, we found out that's the way they were carrying Satanism to the youth of America, even though Christians, like I was, were totally blinded to what was going on all the time at that time. But anyway, so it was through these vehicles of the occult that Satan was able to capture our churches. He was able to capture our country. And so I remember very clearly, before I got saved, I went to see a movie that was called The Exorcist. Well, you see, most of the people in America didn't know what an exorcist was. And you certainly didn't know if you'd never read the Bible, which I hadn't at the time. But everybody was talking about it, so I went to see it. It didn't make very much sense to me at all, and I remember seeing it. But however, later after I got saved, I heard some things about The Exorcist. I heard about the subliminal content in The Exorcist, and so I went and researched what does subliminal mean and all of the things that I could find on that. And so subliminals are laced in to children's cartoons, leading them toward homosexuality. For instance, like the Chronicles of Narnia, if they, when the pastors put them on school buses and took them to see the Chronicles of Narnia, because they had heard C.S. Lewis was a Christian. And C.S. Lewis is not a Christian. He was a Catholic, profession only. And he was actually a pagan follower. And someday we'll talk to you about that, but not tonight. So the Protestant churches, all of the television networks, Christian, all of the Christian magazines told the pastors that it was a good movie for their children to see. And all it is a movie to indoctrinate them into witchcraft. And the first supernatural being that they met in that movie was a figure called Pan. And that figure is a half man and a half goat. And it has hoofs on it. But the man part of that figure turns out to be, a homosexual man playing the role of Pan to the extent that you didn't even have to discern spirits to see it. So they have infiltrated the churches with movies and things like that, too. But getting back to this subliminal, that movie was filled with subliminals, by the way, too, and sexually to induce the children, also to induce them into drugs and into sexual alternative lifestyles and all kinds of things. But subliminals, it doesn't have to be a sexual subliminal. They have other things that they use. And The Exorcist movie used subliminal images to increase the viewer's sense of fear. Now, in order for a mind controller to induce fear into a person's life, what they have to do is introduce tumult, and they've got to put you in a state of sudden fear, terror, to the point that you feel that you could even lose your life. And so in this movie, The Exorcist, they introduced all of that stuff subliminally. And so this movie, both subliminal sounds and pictures were used. Now, a number of times during the movie, the face of the character called Father Karash became two-frame, full death mask, flashing for 0.2 seconds. Now, you see, whenever you've got a flashing light subconsciously, what happens is it interrupts your brain patterns. And it can create a way for the mind controller to take control of your mind. And so also, consciously unnoticed face of Pazuzu, and he was the Babylonian king of the demon, and the word pig appeared many times throughout the movie. They testified squealing of pigs being slaughtered was mixed mostly with the soundtrack, with the music, and the buzzing of the sound of angry, agitated bees wove in and out of the scenes throughout the movie. And many other things. These are just a few things. Now, what happened whenever people would go to that movie? In large numbers, they would faint. Many would become nauseous to various degrees. A great many more had disturbing nightmares. Several theater employees actually had to be placed under the care of physicians, and a few quit their jobs. Employees frequently had to clean up the floors and the rugs when nauseous spectators, mostly male, for some reason, did not make it to the restrooms. In several cities, there was check after the film run for several weeks. Every major hospital receiving department had dealt with dozens of fainting, nauseous, hysteria, hallucination cases. So, it's very, very, very interesting that William Peter Blatty, the author of the novel and producer of the movie, is a former CIA operative who served as policy branch chief of psychological warfare division of the U.S. Air Force. Now, this movie hit the theaters in the 50s, and so it affected this country. It began to tear down the resistance to violence and to the occult and to all of the supernaturalism and the fear and all of the stuff that came packaged in that movie. And then, if you remember, Alfred Hitchcock, in his film Psycho, when Bates is arrested and taken to prison, a mask of death is superimposed over his face in that movie. And then when you go to the graveyard scene, what lies beneath is when Pfeiffer is leaving the cemetery, almost an invisible face of a murder girl appears. Now, see, these things were horrendous when we first saw these things back in the 70s. We'd never seen things like this before. Disney's The Beauty and the Beast. Skulls flashed in Gadsden's face while he is falling from a tower. It happens too fast to be noticed normally. Now, let me tell you, whenever they're using subliminals and the flashing light pulses toward you, you will not see them because it's being picked up. It goes beyond your conscious mind, and it's being picked up in your subconscious mind where it is contained. And that information is used thereafter in various ways by Satan himself. Because you see, your will is what judges your conscious mind. And your subconscious mind is manipulated by handlers and the things that we're talking about tonight. And so wizards, witches, they also go into your subconscious mind. Cult leaders get into your subconscious mind to rule over your life. There's a woman that I've been looking at, and she has a history of joining cults. Some of them staying in those cults for long periods of time. And you wonder, why did she stay in there so long? Well, you know, when you go to one, your mind is susceptible to go to another and another and another. And whenever you go to those kind of cults where you've got one prime person that takes total control over that cult, what you have to do is you have to divorce yourself from him and fly to Jesus. If you've been in the occult called I Am, for instance, that's a worldwide cult that is worked by the world government global system. And when people get into that, their only hope is separating themselves from all of the materials that those people have ever given them, flying to the feet of Jesus, and when I say flying, I mean running as fast as you can, and kneeling and asking forgiveness, and then placing yourself totally dependent on Jesus. And that's the only way you can get free. Now, there's another screenshot from the same movie, oddly enough, Village Girls flash the cornuta, which is the hand sign for Hail Satan. Now, I'll describe it to you. They take their two middle fingers and bend them over. The index finger and the little finger still stay extended, and their thumb is locked over to the two fingers bent over. And that's called a sign of Satan. Hail Satan is what that means. And so if you think that these things are accidental, believe me, they're not accidental at all. Underneath them, there's a dwarf figure, and his tongue is out. Hanging a tongue out like that is also a symbol of worship of Satan. And so, also the screenplay from Disney's Cinderella, Popeye had it. Dr. Sabrina saw that the other day. Mm-hmm. And all of these things are laced with occult material to subliminally draw your children into free sex and pre-Satanism. Now, in the late 60s, this particular hand occult gesture was popularized by the founder of the Church of Satan, Anton LaVey, and was later placed on messages by rock musicians who were into Satanism. Now, friends, if you were ever into rock music, let me tell you that you must bow before the throne of Jesus and you must repent. because of the fact that you see they did ritualisms over all of those records that they did, and they followed a man called Aleister Crowley. And Aleister Crowley was one of the biggest Satan worshipers in the 20s, and he was called the Beast. And he dubbed himself as the world's most evil man. And so Aleister Crowley, these rock musicians like Marilyn Manson and Satanists, I don't know them all because I never listened to them, but if you were listening to heavy-duty rock messages, and maybe even some light ones, you need to put your life before the throne of God and repent and renounce it, because they send the power with those records, and the power is nothing but they send devils with every record that's bought that you bring into your house, and all of those records that you brought into your house, the devil abides there until you destroy the records or the TV films or whatever it is, whatever objects you have to get rid of them. And so many of your rock bands were making this sign up on stage, and what happened? The audiences started mimicking them without even knowing what it meant. And they thought it just meant rock music, I guess. I don't know. But I'm not sure that some of them didn't know what they were doing. Because once you get involved, Satan starts leading your life, and he leads you deeper and deeper and deeper down into the pit, and into stealing your soul, so that you will be able to lose your soul to the kingdom of darkness. Now, the Manchurian Candidate, you remember that movie? Mm-hmm. Well, you see, that movie was about the control of the mind, and they discovered mind control from the Koreans back in the Korean War. That's it. Yeah, I knew I was wrong. The Korean War. And they found out how to control a mind and manipulate a mind. And the Manchurian Candidate was about a man that came back, and he was manipulated, and he was supposed to assassinate. Now, remember, I didn't see the movies. I just read articles about these things because I don't go to movies, right? And I don't watch this stuff on television either. But he was supposed to assassinate somebody. I have no idea who it was. But his mind had been manipulated that whenever he got a code, that he would drop into a trance. And when he dropped into the trance, then they could give him a message, and he would, like a zombie, walk out and commit whatever crime it was that they told him to commit. And there's been several other movies that have come out since then along this line. I remember reading that there was another one. There's probably many. But O.J. Simpson was in one, and some guy that was a funny guy. I don't remember all of their names because I don't know them. And then Elvis Presley's wife was in it, and she was the mind control victim in that, and she was supposed to kill the guy that was funny. But anyway, I don't want to go into all of that, just to tell you that It's been studied since the 50s. It's probably been updated with many other people who have pieces of information from Satan to improve it. So it's called mind control. Now, how does a mind controller control your mind? Well, the way he does it is he causes a trauma in your life. Like when they're trying to mind control the little children to make sex slaves out of them, but the controller will do something so horrible that the child wants to forget that memory. Some of the things that they were doing, for instance, one thing I'll cite only, they were taking the children to the graveyard, digging up graves, opening up caskets, making them get into the caskets, and putting snakes in the casket with the little children. And when they did that, that would traumatize the child. And then they had access to her subconscious mind because that memory would be forced back into the mind so that she could not remember what had happened to her. But they had control of her mind. And they worked with the spirit of fear. And the fear spirit became the mind controller, the supernatural mind controller, and they would open the subconscious, they would put the child or the person in a trance, and in other words, their conscious mind would go to sleep, and then they would, the spirit of fear would open up the subconscious mind. And the subconscious mind would have, well, the way I saw a vision of it one time, it was like little avenues in the mind. And I forgot to say that when they traumatize them, the mind shatters. It shatters into little pieces. And so if you think about those little pieces that shatter in the mind whenever they're traumatized, those are little empty places in the mind, now in the subconscious mind. And so that is the place, those empty places, where your mind controller will come up and he will or she will tell the spirit of fear to open the doors to the subconscious mind. And he or she will feel demons into those places that are empty. And then they control the demons. Now, they could, for instance, they can fill it up with political personality, a Christian personality, a satanic personality, a New Age personality, and on and on and on. Now, in order to operate those personalities that's been layered into that person's subconscious mind, what they have to do is they have a code for each personality that they layer in that person's mind. And it could be when you hear your phone ring, the Christian personality come forth. If you hear this word or that word, this other Christian, this other personality will come forth, and they can actually control people's personalities that way. And so, and get them to do things that they wouldn't ordinarily do. So it's a process of America stepping in unknowingly to a lot of these places where you really shouldn't be, because the Bible teaches us that we must control our minds. In other words, by the Word of God. We have to watch what we read, we have to watch where we go, and we have to watch what we do. That's what the Bible warns us to do. Now, the other Maturian candidate, again, Remember Denzel? He played the Manchurian Candidate on that, and on his forehead was etched 666. And I can go on and on, but I think you've got the idea of the problem. And I think you can also see that this problem has not only infiltrated movies and things, but it's actually infiltrated many of your cathedrals, many of your churches. There are some cathedrals that have the all-seeing eye in stained glass windows. Everywhere you look, someone is trying to play around with your mind. And if they play around with your mind, they'll get control of your mind. If you've ever been hypnotized, for instance, you need deliverance. And you need deliverance from the hypnosis because you have to see that somebody's trying to get control of your mind. CNN, ESPN, ABC, TNT, and most of them are using this flickering light thing. It's pumping out over 150 stations 24 hours a day, and there's really not anything on there worth looking at anyway. And if you watch those things, you are receiving anti-American stuff constantly, anti-Christian stuff constantly, homosexuality as an alternative lifestyle, and many, many other things. So watching television creates an altered state of consciousness. It creates that same state that you have whenever somebody traumatizes you. The only difference is this is created by the flickering light interrupting your brain patterns. And because of the television screen, while appearing static, actually are the flickers. And the human brain has a tendency to change its brain waves frequently toward the frequency of a domain external stimulus. Thus, the frequency of flickering synchronizes your brain waves to the frequency of the alpha state, a state of daydreaming. We would call it a state of trance also. When you are most receptive in receiving these mental programming is because you're relaxed, you're not aware that anything's going on. It is absolutely operating on your brain with music and with subliminals and with sign languages through the hands and with sign languages on the various furniture, on the walls, all of the place. And so television is the number one controlling device which has infiltrated just nearly everyone's home in disguise of entertainment and medium. Now, you know, it's gotten so bad now that the New World Order has taken over NFL football, for instance. And so they get the global whores that are submitted and mind-controlled by the New World Order. And they're coming in like some woman named Miley and Madonna and people like that. And they're actually doing satanic witchcraft ritualisms that they are releasing over everyone watching. And I have to tell you that the audience is big and vast. So, if you want to see something that will just shock you, it shocked me, if you get the Da Vinci portrait or painting of the Last Supper, you will see that Da Vinci was a Satanist or a secret society member, if not more than that. And what he did is he embedded Mary Magdalene sitting right next to Jesus, leaning on one of the male apostles' shoulder. And where the Da Vinci Code comes from is that's one of the main sources, is that Jesus was supposedly married to Mary and she was sitting at the table, but she's leaning on the apostle. And you can also see, when you look very carefully, some of the apostles are making some of the symbols. They said satanic symbols. Well, you see, most of your Christians just go out and buy that picture and hang it in their living room, and they just think it's great. You see, Rembrandt did it with S-E-K-S in his paintings. So it doesn't matter. I guess that meant sex. You know, it's pronounced sex. But it doesn't matter where they put it or what they do. The thing is what they're doing is will have an effect on your mind. Make no mistake about that. So what I'm telling you today is real. For instance, the Barbie doll. The Barbie doll was made as a sex symbol for little girls. And they have dressed her up in all of these sexy, mature, whorish dresses. A couple of years ago, they made a Barbie doll out of the world goddess, Astrid Mackie, some famous designer. And they recently, several years ago, made one that was a lesbian, and they made a Ken doll that was a homosexual, and they have one Barbie doll today that she's a fan, and she has hypertrophy to make her brainless like her icon. And this other one that has one, excuse me, she reveals that she starves herself. She believes she can live off of cosmic micro food or just light and air. I had a little girl to come over to my house with her family not long ago, and she had a Ken Barbie, and she had a female Barbie. And she came and visited me in my room, and while we were talking, she put the Ken and the Barbie doll together and made it look like they were having sex. And this kid was 5 years old. Mm-hmm. And so if you think that these things are not going to have any kind of an impression on your spirit and your soul, then you better wake up. Now, you remember I told you that it all works with the spirit of fear, mm-hmm. that it's the spirit of fear that opens the gateways. It's the spirit of fear that opens the subconscious mind. And when the spirit of fear opens that subconscious mind, your conscious mind is not aware of it. You can be walking around in a trance, and a spirit of fear has opened up another personality. And you can be walking around in that personality and never even know it. I know, because I've delivered people from that. We're not talking about that tonight, but someday I will. Now, the spirit of fear, Satan desires you to receive a spiritual gatekeeper. The spiritual gatekeeper will take control of the person's will and mind. He wants to bind the person's will to evil plots. And when the will becomes bound, Satan blocks his mind and fills it with bewitchments and bewitching spirits. He stands guard against what will be allowed and what will be received in the person's consciousness. Now, I'm going to tell you, this is why, friends, we pray for people that are not saved. They don't know any better. Some of them, their spirits have been bound up so long ago, and their minds bound up through all of this activity that we are subjected to every day, and you are also subjected to it in some churches, until they are gone and have been gone for years. So this is why we pray. We pray to bind the spiritual gatekeeper. And when we bind the spiritual gatekeeper, which is the spirit of fear, and we command them to open up their supernatural, not their supernatural, but their subconscious mind, and let those various spirits out of the subconscious mind so that they can receive Jesus as their Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You see, if their mind is blocked and if it's controlled by demonic forces, they cannot see Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
They cannot find Jesus. And somebody prayed for you just as somebody prayed for me. So give your time to prayer for your friends, your families, and people that you meet. And you'll begin to see conversions. Now, the gatekeeper will try to block everything concerning the truth of the Word of God. Have you ever gone witnessing to someone's house and they open the door to you and you come in and then the phone starts ringing, the doorbell rings, the husband calls, the daughter drops by? All of these things happen. And you see, the reason that they do is you haven't learned how to do spiritual warfare for the job that you're going out to do for the Lord that day. If you and whoever you're going with will sit and pray before you go out the door and bind up the demons that are controlling the people that God is going to lead you to and cage them and command those demons to loose their minds and all blocking spirits to be crushed, then when you go out, people will hear you. Ask God to give them ears to hear, a mind to see, and lips to for you to express to them what they need to know. So this is spiritual stuff, friends, and a lot of people don't understand it. I mean, I didn't understand these things in a day. These are tapes that you need to listen to several times, and each time the Lord will show you things you didn't hear before. And so so they do everything. The gatekeeper will do everything. Like, for instance, when you speak to a non-believer, the sentence will leave your mouth. It will take a loop through the air by the demon and go up to the mind of the person. And it's a different message than you spoke to begin with. And they have no understanding. And right away, instead of answering what you said to them, they'll immediately answer with some other thing. And it's because they didn't hear the question.
Or be offended.
They get offended too, yeah, because the demons surface up in them and look at you and hate you.
Mm-hmm.
The devil hates the gospel. Now, when someone tries to reach you with the truth, the gatekeeper will lead your mind to come to other conclusions. I just described that to you, other than believing the Word of God. He will deceive the victim into believing that his implanted thoughts are his own thoughts. In other words, when you're ministering to someone the gospel, there's activity going on if you haven't bound it up, and that's Satan implanting thoughts into the person's mind, and they usually don't hear a thing that you're saying. But thank God, the Bible tells us that our thoughts go beyond our minds, down into our flesh, down to our bone marrow. And what that is God goes beyond the devil and plants his word into them. And then later somebody else tells him again, and he waters it, and he waters it. And then he gets the glory whenever they change and come to Jesus. So you're not responsible except just to tell them. Now, Jeremiah 29:13, it says, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye search for me with all of your heart." You will become spiritually strong when you're fed the Word of God. The Bible says in Amos 8 through 11, chapter 8, 11 through 12, "Behold, the days will come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor of thirst for water, but hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, from the north even to the west. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, but they shall not find it." And so you can see from just as much as I've done today that we're living in very trying times, testing times. And we're living in this day where the devil is out to steal your goods. If you're a Christian, he's out to take your Christianity away from you. If you're not a Christian, he's got you anyway. And so we need to know that our God is very, very powerful, and that he can go beyond all of the technology that they have invented. He can reach down and touch your son and your daughter. You just have to be faithful to pray for them. He will touch them at the moment that they're available for him to touch. He can't touch them one moment until they give their will to him to be touched. And we have absolutely nothing to do with that. And you know, if we go and we start trying to force Jesus on our family, we'll drive them farther away. And you must always, always remember the battle is the Lord. And of course, our war is uniquely tied to our love, obedience, submission to the Lord, that we are able to win every struggle when we're connected to our Lord. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 20:17-20, "Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow goeth out against them, for the Lord will be with you." And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all of Judah and all the inhabitants of Judah fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korbites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. So that's 2 Chronicles 20:17-20. So if you will believe on the Lord your God, believe in the word of the Lord your God, and believe in the law, and believe his prophets, and ye shall prosper. Now here, the word of the Lord and the revelation most potentially distinguished the word being used personally. So God fully and taught us to use the word personally in our everyday life. And that's what we're doing when you hear Brother Marshall and Dr. Sabrina and I pray. you will, and Brother Bill too, you will hear us say a scripture mixing it along with the prayers that we make. Amen?
Amen.
And then in Colossians 2, 6 through 9, the Bible says, as ye have therefore received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness and the Godhead bodily. Yes, thank you, Dr. Sabrina. Bodily. And so the Bible is challenging us tonight to draw away from the world. It's challenging us to seek after the spirit of truth. If you have a spirit of evil, if you have a spirit of the devil, if you have a spirit of fear, you will have a spirit of faith if you seek for it. You will have a spirit of Christ, Jesus, if you seek for him. You will gain a spirit of truth if you seek for truth. And so the devil is out to rob, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I am come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. John 10:10. Now, 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not your victory. It's his victory. And he's already won the battle. Now, according to Joshua 23:5-11, you are to cling to the Lord your God, for the Lord your God is he who fights for you, just as he promised you. So take a diligent heed to the love of the Lord our God. And then in 2 Chronicles 20:12, 13, the Bible says, O God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones and their wives and their children. You see, you must stand before the Lord. And you must cry out to him. And you must talk to him. You don't constantly talk to the devils all the time. You talk to the devils one time. And then you start your spiritual warfare with the Lord. And you start quoting those scriptures over yourself. You start calling on your weapons of warfare. Because, you see, the Bible shows us that as Christians, we have every advantage over every devil, including Satan himself, because he is shown as an antagonist in light of what Jesus gave his church. Satan can only take the place that you give him. Always remember that. Say it with me. Satan. Can only take the place.
Can only take the place.
In my life.
In my life.
That I give to him.
That I give to him.
And the word of God says.
And the word of God says.
Submit yourself to God.
Submit yourself to God.
Resist the devil.
Resist the devil.
And he will flee from you.
And he will flee from you.
And the scripture makes it clear that the battle is not our personal battle. You see, the battle is Satan trying to steal God's goods because he paid a price for you. He died for you. You ask him to come and take your life. Your life belongs to him. So after you become a Christian, when Satan creeps in and tries to steal from you, he's stealing from the Lord himself. Because of that, the war is the battle of the Lord. And all he asks us to do is do what we're taught and know that we can overcome all things in his name. The battle rests upon his ability, and he has already won the war. Just read John 14, verses 15 through 27. And always remember, friends, Jesus Christ is the only mediator between God and man. No human being should stand between you and God. They can direct you and help you to understand the word if you don't know something. They can teach you because that's what God sent them to do. But they can never be in control of your life unless you let them to be. And if somebody is controlling your life, that person is not of God. Get away from them as quickly as you can. Now, his mission was fully accomplished. He is in full control and exalted to the Father's right hand. He is the master and the almighty power. Jesus came to defy the power of Satan, according to Acts 26:18. He challenged the rule of Satan in Colossians 2:10. He conquered the right of dominion, according to Colossians 2:14 and 15. He set us free from the cause of sin, 1 Peter 3:18. And he can set us free from the curse of sin, according to 1 Peter 5:10. And verse 11, and of course Galatians, cursed is he that hangeth on the tree, for we have been redeemed from the curse of the law. So, the gateway to your soul is freedom of mental faculty, is to recognize God. In Deuteronomy 5:29, oh, that there was such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all of my commandments, always that it might be well with them and well with thy children forever. And then your gateway to freedom is, I think, one of the most powerful books that shows you your freedom is Deuteronomy 28. And it starts out telling you that if you will obediently listen to the voice of the Lord, obedient, follow your God, obey his commandments, do whatever he tells you to do, God's grace will be piled upon you very, very high. And all of these blessings that are shown over in Deuteronomy 28 will come down upon you and spread out beyond you. And because you have responded to the voice of the Lord, your God, now I want you to listen. If you can take notes, take them. Or go to Deuteronomy 28, and they're right there under the blessings. God's blessing inside the city. God's blessing in the country. God's blessing on your children, the crops of your land, the young of your livestock, the cows of your herds, the lambs of your flocks, God's blessing on your blanket and bread bowl, God's blessing in your coming in, God's blessing in your coming out, and God will defeat your enemies who attack you. They will come at you one road and run away seven roads. And we claim these blessings over us today. All of our enemies, Lord, we ask that you run seven roads away from us in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that we release all of those blessings that we just read in your word that you want to do for us. And we open our spirits and we receive them, God. And Father, we ask that you break every single devil that has been set up to destroy us, to destroy our ministries, to destroy our families, to destroy our cities, to destroy our country, our children, our land, our livestock, our herds, our flocks, the basket, the finances in our basket, the bread bowl, the coming in and the going out. We ask you, God, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, that you put your gate between us and them, and that they can no longer come, that they cannot work powers against our lives in any way. All of their slander and gossip, you said any weapon formed against us, we shall condemn. And we condemn these slandering devils in the name of Jesus. We rise up and condemn them. And you said that you would defeat our enemies who attack us, that they would come to you one way, run well, and run away seven roads. We send them seven roads running in Jesus' name. And you said, God, for all of those working on jobs in their workplaces, that witches have come on those jobs and they're trying to make them lose their jobs, or they're working powers against their minds or their families or whatever. You said in your word that you will order a blessing on our barns, our workplaces, that you'll bless us in the land that God has given to you. You have given us this land, God, and we're doing everything we know how to do. And we ask that you bless the land, that you bless us. You said God will form you a people holy to him, just as he promised to you, to keep the commandments of God, your God, and live in the way he has shown you. Lord Jesus, we just ask you to help us to be holy. If we make a mistake, God, we ask that you cover it with your blood. And we ask, God, in the name of Jesus, that you correct us at the same time. We give you praise and glory that all of our mistakes that we have ever made is under your blood, because that's why you came to the cross. We give you praise and glory. And you said all of the people on the earth will see us under the name of God and hold us in a respectful awe. We release that over every one of us tonight, Lord. And we give you praise and glory that we're able to present our lives, that they will hold you in holy awe. You said God will lavish you with good things, children from your womb, offsprings from your animals, crops from your land, the land that God promised your ancestors that he would give to you. You will throw open the doors of his sky vaults. You will pour the rain on your land on schedule. You will bless the works that you take in hand. You will lend to many nations, but you yourself won't have to take out a loan. God said he would make you the head and not the tail. You will also be the top dog, never the bottom dog, as you obediently listen to, diligently keep the commands of God, your God, that I am commanding you this day. Don't swerve, one inch to the right or to the left from the words that God has commanded you today, and going off following and worshiping after other gods and angels and statues and all of those things, sex, all of those things. You know, Americans have a lot of idols that we never even look at as their idols. But anything that you put before God is an idol. Just always remember that. Football can be a nice thing for young boys. But on the other hand, for old men, it can become an idol. Oh, I can't go to church because I'm watching football. That's an idol. Here's, it will happen if you don't obey and listen to the voice of your God and diligently keep his commandments and guidelines that I'm talking to you about today. And I'm going to break them as we call them and you call them out. Father, cursed in the city.
Cursed in the city.
God's curse and fury in the country.
God's curse in the country.
God's curse on your basket and bread.
God's curse on your basket and bread.
God's curse on your children.
God's curse on your children.
The crops of your land.
The crops of your land.
The young of your livestock.
The young of your livestock.
The calves of your herds.
The calves of your herds.
The lambs of your flock.
The lambs of your flock.
God's curse in your coming in.
God's curse in your coming in.
And God's curse as you go out.
And God's curse as you go out.
And Father, we bind these curses over us.
And Father, we bind these curses over us.
And we command every one of them to leave.
And we command every one of them to leave.
That we've ever placed on ourselves.
That we've ever placed on ourselves.
Gotten from our family lines.
Gotten from our family lines.
From bosses.
Spirits, from bosses.
From friends.
From friends, from associates, from ties. From groupings and assemblies and relations and associations.
And we command all of those to leave.
And we command all of those to leave.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Now take a deep breath and cough them out. Cough them all the way down to the stomach. And go into the cage. And God will send the curse, confusion, contrariness, down on everything that you try and that you do that have been destroyed, that nothing left of you because all of your evil pursuits led you to abandon God. Lord, we bind that and we command the spirit of confusion to leave, everything that's been released over us by a human being and everything we've released over ourselves go and return sevenfold.
Amen.
God will infect you with disease, wiping you right off the land that you were going to possess. We bind that. God will set consumption, fever, rash, seizures, dehydration, blight, jaundice, and they will hurt you until they kill you. The sky over your head will become an iron roof, and the ground under your feet a slab of concrete. From out of the sky, God will rain ash and dust down on you until you suffocate. God will defeat your enemy's attack. You will come at your enemy in one road and run away seven roads. Mm-hmm. And all of the kingdoms of the earth shall see you in a horror. The carrion birds and the animals will boastfully feed of the dead flesh of your body, and no one will chase them away. And God will hit you hard with boils from Egypt, hemorrhoids, scabs, and an incurable itch. He will make you go crazy, blind, senile. You will grope around in the middle of the day, blind person feeling your way through a lifetime of darkness. You will never get where you're going, not by day nor by night. And you will be abused and robbed, and no one is going to help you. You will get engaged to a woman, and another man will take her as his mistress. You will build a house and never live in it. You will plant a garden and never eat so much as a carrot. You will watch the ox get butchered and not get a single steak from it. Your donkey will be stolen in front of you, and you will never see it again. Your sheep will be sent off to your enemies, and no one will give you a hand. And when we talk about these animals, think about your houses, think about your cars, think about your savings, think about things that feed us. Think about those things, because these are the modern animals that we lift up so greatly. Your sons and your daughters will be shipped off to foreigners. You will wear your eyes looking vainly for them, helpless to do a thing. Your crops and everything that you will eat will be used by the foreigners. And what you see will drive you crazy. Now, there's more, and I'm not going to read all of these because we have to get to the phones and find our co-host. But, Father, I ask you to give the people a hunger that's listening to the word, that they will go over in Deuteronomy 28, and they will carefully read these scriptures, and they will take authority over each blessing and release it into their lives as we did tonight. And they will read each curse and break the powers, cage the demonic forces, and command them to leave, and that they will release your glory and your blessings upon their life. And Father, you did promise us over in Joel chapter 2 that you would restore all that the chancre and the pomworm had eaten. And so tonight we stand on your word, asking for total restoration. Mm-hmm. And we give you praise and glory over every listener, over everyone that calls in, over our co-host, over Dr. Sabrina, and all of our families, all of our church families, over every single person that we're praying for. We loose the blessings of Abraham over them, and we loose your word to become powerful in their life. Now, Dr. Sabrina, we got to go see if our co-host is up.
Well, while you're doing that, I have some scriptures for them.
Okay, you got to talk loud.
I'm giving them the phone number now.
Okay, she's doing something. She'll be with you in just a moment. Don't go away.
Our phone number is, for those of you who need to call in for prayer, is 1-805-292-0300, and you should press 1 to speak with us. We welcome your prayer requests, your requests for deliverance, your testimonies, your praise reports, your questions, your comments. So feel free to call us because we're waiting to talk to you. Now, in the meantime, I'm certain that you're ready with your pen and paper or whatever you use to take notes, and you're ready for these scriptures. I have several of them, so I'm not going to creep. I'm going to move. I hope that you are prepared to move with me. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6, Isaiah chapter 54, verse 14, Isaiah chapter 35, verse 4, Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17, Isaiah chapter 51, verse 7. 1 John 4:18, Job 28:28, Philippians chapter 1, verse 28, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 3 through 5, Amos chapter 8, verse 11 through 12, Mark chapter 16, verse 16, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, Matthew chapter 8, verse 26, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 17 through 20, Mark chapter 4, verse 40, Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 9, the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verse 8, the gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 10, 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 7, 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, verse 57, Genesis, chapter 15, verse 1, Joshua, chapter 23, verse 5 through 11, Deuteronomy, chapter 20, verse 3, Deuteronomy, chapter 31, verse 6 through 8, Deuteronomy, chapter 5, verse 29, Deuteronomy, chapter 28, and chapter 29. 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, verses 12 through 13. James, chapter 4, verse 7. Joshua, chapter 10, verse 25. The Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 15 through 27. 2 Kings, chapter 6, verse 16. 1 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 5, Acts, chapter 26, verse 18, Colossians, chapter 2, verses 10 and verses 14 through 15, 2 Kings, I'm not sure if I gave this one already, but if I didn't, I'll give it now, 2 Kings, chapter 6, verse 16, Psalms, chapter 46, verse 2, Psalms, chapter 56, verse 4, Psalms, chapter 64, verse 1, Proverbs, chapter 1, verse 33, Proverbs, chapter 3, verse 25, Proverbs, chapter 29, verse 25, Luke, chapter 21, verses 25 through 27. Joel, chapter 2. Galatians, chapter 3, verse 13. 1 Peter, chapter 3, verse 18. And 1 Peter, chapter 5, verses 10 through 11. And if you missed any of them, feel free to recast the broadcast. They'll all be there. Amen.
Amen. And now, you know, the front part of this message was about the subliminals. And every single one of us have been infected with that at one time or another, either through books, through a magazine, through TV, through television, through various different places that we have gone willingly to the movie houses, watching movies that we know by the Spirit of God that God hates violence, sex, and lust, perverse movies. And sometimes you go and you don't know, but sometimes you go and you do know. And so we're all guilty. Let's be honest. We live in this society where everything is so prevalent. And so let's just pray, Dr. Sabrina,
All right.
Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I repent.
I repent.
For subjecting my mind.
For subjecting my mind.
My spirit.
My spirit.
And my body.
And my body.
To things that I should not have.
To things that I should not have.
And I ask you to deliver me.
And I ask you to deliver me.
My subconscious mind.
My subconscious mind.
To every mind manipulation.
To every mind manipulation.
By any human being.
By any human being.
Or any spiritual being.
Or any spiritual being.
On the face of this earth.
On the face of this earth.
Aside from you.
Aside from you.
And I ask you to open up my subconscious mind.
And I ask you to open up my subconscious mind.
And clean all of those spirits out.
And clean all of those spirits out.
All images.
All images.
All nightmares.
All nightmares.
All terror spirits.
All terror spirits.
All spirits of fear.
All spirits of fear.
Every trauma.
Every trauma.
Spirits that have come down my family line for generations.
Spirits that have come down my family line for generations.
I renounce them and I ask you to deliver me.
I renounce them and I ask you to deliver me.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I forgive every single person.
I forgive every single person.
That has ever done anything to me.
That has ever done anything to me.
But tonight.
But tonight.
I receive.
I receive.
Freedom in my mind.
Freedom in my mind.
And my spirit.
And my spirit.
And my flesh.
And my flesh.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
And I ask you to erase all images.
And I ask you to erase all images.
And just clear my mind.
And just clear my mind.
And fill it with your Holy Spirit.
And fill it with your Holy Spirit.
And your blood.
And your blood.
And I give you praise.
And I give you praise.
And glory.
And glory.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Now just take a deep breath, a very deep breath, and cough them out. Cough everything out. Everything to go. Everything to go. Nothing, nothing can survive the blood of Jesus. And we plead the blood. Now just raise your hands up and say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Fill me with the fire.
Fill me with holy fire.
And all of those places.
And all of those places.
With your spirit
with
and
your
holy fire.
And your holy fire.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
We take a deep breath. Praise Him. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We bless the name of Jesus.
Okay. Now. I truly don't see our co-hosts. I see a lot of lights lit up, but I don't see one that I recognize, which if he calls in on the Skype, sometimes I don't recognize it. So if he'll just hang up, I'll see which one it is and call right back. And that will help me. But meantime, Dr. Sabrina, I think that we need to get to the calls.
Yes, I do too. We have quite a few of them.
We've got quite a few calls.
Try one more.
In Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
So let's try this Skype call first.
Okay.
111, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello. Dr. Sabrina, Pat, this is Irene. You remember I called you last time about praying for the MRI, going on the MRI for my breast, and it didn't show anything but some calcification, but they still wanted to do the biopsy just in case, and I'm just praying for wisdom about that. My husband is inclined for me to go ahead and have it done. It will be a small little just a biopsy to confirm that everything is okay. They didn't see anything really, but they could say suspicious about those calcifications, and that's what they want to do. So I like to pray for wisdom in God, and maybe God can dissolve those calcifications before even it's done. And also, definitely, there is a lot of attacks in different other areas, and I'm standing in the Word, and the peace of God is amazing. I can feel his peace, and it's like he's really taking over. And I just appreciate that. And it's like a testimony of being standing no matter what. And not just because of the situation with the MRI or whatever concerning that way. I just get it in this life completely. But other situations in the family and whatever it is, there is a peace that is really totally amazing to me. It's like suddenly I know I can trust him. I know he's able. I know he's willing. I know he's the greater. It's just so unusual and beautiful. I don't want to give this as a testimony to the Lord.
Well, praise the Lord. Now, what areas specifically do you want us to pray other than the wisdom about the biopsy?
Oh, well, to have it done, it's going to be like a very small incision to go and just clip that.
Yeah, it takes less than a minute. It takes less than a minute.
Yeah, it's like a little tiny piece of tissue. And I know about this more or less. I have studied and I even had it done a year ago, and they never have found any malignancy. But because of the curse in the family of that, and maybe I have to tell them if there was anybody in the family in that situation. So I know I'm free. The Lord set me free. The curse is between anything of my family and me, but still I have to fill up the papers. So they wanted to do all this extra.
Okay, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just lift Irene before you, and I thank you, Lord, for her testimony. And we give you praise, glory, and honor for all that you've already done. Father, if there's anything there, we curse it now in the name of Jesus. We bind it and cage it, these calcifications, in Jesus' name, and we command them to be dissolved now in the name of Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Take authority, dominion, and power over the spirit of worry, over anxiety, over care. The Bible says that we are to cast our care upon you because we know that you care for us. We thank you, Father, that the spirit of fear that is tormenting my sister is bound, caged, and chained. Come out of her now, in the name of Jesus. Come out of her now. Come out of her. You cannot remain in the name of Jesus. You cannot remain in the name of Jesus. Anxiety, anxious thoughts, bound, caged, and chained. Terrifying fears, bound, caged, and chained. Suspicions, bound, caged, and chained. Come out of her in Jesus' name. Care, bound, caged, and chained in Jesus' name. Care concerning her health matters, bound, caged, and chained in Jesus' name. For by your stripes, Lord, she has already been healed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Irene, they're doing this as a precaution. If they don't do it and something should happen later, they're at fault. They have to do this to cover their own insurance costs, if you understand what I'm saying to you.
I do.
Okay, and your husband has already said to you that he thinks you ought to do it and just get it over with.
Right.
Okay. So now we have prayed. You've cast your care on the Lord. The Lord will direct what you ought to do, all right?
Yes.
Okay.
Amen.
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 Amen to that. Praise peace God to her now, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, God.
Okay, well, thank you for calling us. God bless you, and we'll continue to keep you in prayer, all right?
Thank you so much. Thank you
God
so
bless
much. God bless you all. Bye-bye.
I think I see our co-host, 661. You're on the air.
Good evening, Pat. Hi, Dr. Sabrina.
Hi. How are you doing, Brother Marshall?
I'm blessed and highly favored and rapidly improving.
Good. We're happy to see that.
Yeah, the Lord is very gracious.
Amen.
When I woke up, he's still there.
Amen.
I'm still with him. And like Irene has discovered, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Like it says in Psalm 118, verse 8, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Amen?
Amen.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well,
because he's dependable. You can depend on the Lord. You know, men do the best they can sometimes, and sometimes they have ulterior motives, like we've heard about tonight. And I must admit, I wasn't too surprised about some of the subliminals, but when I heard about the Da Vinci thing, and even in the Last Supper portrait, that really did surprise me, and I didn't know it was in there too. So it's amazing.
Yeah, I didn't know it either until that Da Vinci Code came out, and reading some of the stuff about that, I came across that. But you know, the devil is very sly. Look at Michelangelo's stuff up there in the Vatican. And so we ought not to be surprised, because God tells us not to paint any graven images of God. So, but anyway, we've got some calls. And do you have anything else to say before we get on to the calls? We've got a bunch of them.
A whole slew.
No, but I think what you pointed out tonight is very, very important, and I think it's so prevalent, and it's affecting so many people, and they're unaware of it. They just think they're having a nice time watching TV, and they don't know what's going on. They don't know that their minds are being manipulated or controlled or programmed or whatever. I mean, the TV programs are called programs. I mean, it should be pretty obvious.
Yeah. Radio programs.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
They're being programmed. You know, what? Like you program a computer. So where people are being programmed, you know, not just by this particular brand of soap or deodorant or something. They're being programmed in lots of different ways.
Yeah. And God can use the media and the airwaves just as well as the devil can, if God's people are willing to be bold enough to use it. But when you step into the arena to use God's ways, you can expect attacks. There's no question about it.
Persecution and suffering come with this calling.
That's right. And you just have to depend on God to get us through, you know. Well, we do have a lot of calls, and so you want to take some calls?
With the help of the Lord, we can do all things.
Amen. Let's go.
Okay. Sure. What I'm going to do is I'm going to start at the first call and just go right down the line. 334, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello.
Speak up, honey. We can hear you.
Okay. I just wanted to pray for. I had a brother to come in a couple of days ago, and he prayed for me, and I came home, and I made a lot of decisions, which was one of them. I know was my boyfriend. I picked clothes, and I didn't know why, but it's been paining me about this, and I know God do things for the good, and he prayed that no weapon formed against me shall prosper, and then I also want for you to pray for my family, my stepfather. He had a major surgery on his leg. And then the next day, he had half his leg removed, and he's not doing well because they were giving him morphine, and he's just not kind of responding now, or he's out of his mind. And I want you to pray for him, and I also go up for a surgery Wednesday for a DNC to remove tumors, and I know the Lord has taken care of me through all the heartaches and pains and suffering and trauma all I've been through in my life. The Lord has taken me through it, enabling me to have a sane mind because of the things I've been through in my life. I give the Lord the glory for that, for keeping me, and also to pray for my grandkids, and pray that when I have the surgery, these tumors are removed. And my body's healed. I'm also a diabetic, a diabetic, and I also have high blood pressure, which I take 5 blood pressure pills a day, and my blood pressure still be high. And I just need a prayer. I just need prayer and deliverance from whatever Satan has over me and that's binding, holding me down. I just need a prayer because my whole life, even though I praise the Lord, seem like I never can get past a lot of hurt and pain in my life. I never can seem to get past all this heartache and pain from childhood, being abused, being in bad relationships. But I still give God the glory because He has been good, because He allowed me to still live and to enjoy my grandkids. And
okay.
I just give Him the praise.
All right, let's pray. I need you to repeat after me. Father.
Yes. Father.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
You've seen my entire life.
You've seen my entire life.
Many things have happened.
Many things have happened.
That you did not will to happen in my life.
That you did not will happen in my life.
Many things have hurt me.
Many things have hurt me.
And traumatized me.
And traumatized me.
Yet I keep my faith in you.
Yes, Lord, yes, I keep my faith in you.
I ask you, Father.
I ask you, Father.
To forgive me.
Forgive me.
Of all my sins.
Of all my sins.
And iniquities.
And iniquities.
And to come in my heart.
I didn't hear you, Father.
And to come in my heart. And to come in my heart.
And to come in my heart.
And be the Lord.
And be the Lord.
And master.
And master.
Of my life.
Of my life.
I forgive.
I forgive.
By an act of my will.
By an act of my will.
Everyone.
Everyone.
And every situation.
In every situation.
That has ever hurt me.
That has ever hurt me.
I forgive myself.
I forgive myself.
For everything that I have done.
Everything that I have done.
That was not right in your eyes.
That was not right in your eyes.
Thank you, Lord.
I thank you, Lord.
That Jesus Christ.
That Jesus Christ.
Is my deliverer.
Is my deliverer.
And he has come now.
And he has come now.
To deliver me.
To deliver me.
From pain and suffering.
From pain and suffering.
Because he took.
Because he took.
My pain.
My pain.
My sorrow.
My sorrow.
My grief.
My grief.
My suffering.
My suffering.
On the cross.
From the cross.
For me.
For me.
So that I can go free from these things.
So I can go free from these things. Thank you, Jesus.
All right, now I'm going to pray, and I'm going to, when I tell you to cough, I want you to cough, okay?
Okay, I wanted to know, was that okay when you was talking before? I was coughing. I got my granddaughter in my lap, and I don't want to cough. I know spirits on to her.
Oh, you won't, dear. We just cover the child with the blood of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we take authority over every ungodly soul tie in this sister's life and in this child's life. And with the sword of the Spirit, we cut them free now in the name of Jesus. We cut off every demonic root. We bind out every familiar spirit coming down the family lines in the name of Jesus. We remit her sins and the sins of her family line, Father, all the way back to Adam and Eve. And we command every ungodly spirit to come out of her now, bound, caged, and chained, and go to the feet of Jesus for judgment. Now, sister, I need you to take a deep breath and begin to cough because I'm going to call out some more spirits. Leviathan, right now in the name of Jesus, we cut off your seven heads, we cut off your tails, we cut you in pieces, and we cage each piece. Come out of her now. Come out of her now. Father, we ask you to walk down subconscious and all subconscious. Come out of her now. Fear, come out of her now, but Jesus. Now, every manifestation of fear, bound. Anxiety, come out. Sleep, come out in Jesus' name. Spirit, named or not named, come out of the subconscious now in Jesus' name. Come out now, all of you. We call you out from next to the root in Jesus' name. Come out. Spirit, bound, caged, and chained, come out in Jesus' name. Every hurt, bound, caged, and chained. Bound, caged, and chained. Bound and chained. Come out of her. Fear. Anxiety. Bound, caged, and chained. Come out in Jesus' name. Heart ailment. Circulatory ailment. Bound, caged, and chained. Every ailment in the lungs. Stress. Bound, caged, and chained. Come out in Jesus' name. Every manifestation of fear. Bound, caged, and chained. Dismay. And chain. Confusion, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Every spirit of confusion, bound, caged, and chained. Discouragement, in Jesus' name. Bound to the past, bound, caged, and chained. Come out in Jesus' name. Every green spirit, bound, caged, and chained. Marine spirits out now, bound, caged, and chained. I don't know, the baby said something. Every marine spirit bound, caged, and chained. I bind fear of the child in Jesus' name.
Both my great kids are in here with me.
Okay.
It's okay. She's just coughing up some cold.
I'm just coughing up cold, okay?
Okay.
I love you. Sit down, okay?
You can cough too if you want to.
You can need to call me back. Come here, Makash. Cough. Feel better.
Yes.
Diabetes, bound, caged, and chained. Octopus spirit, bound, caged, and chained. We cut off your suckers and we cut off your head in Jesus' name. Squid spirits, bound, caged, and chained. Come out. We command the blood, we command the blood sugar to return to normal in Jesus' name. We release the healing power in the name of Jesus. Father, everything is
good. All right. Yeah.
We assign it to the blood of Christ in Jesus' name. Our mental illness is now caged and chained. In the name of Jesus. Come on out in the name of Jesus. All psychiatric illnesses, come out in Jesus' name. All illnesses affecting the mind, come out in the name of Jesus. Sorcery, bound, caged, and chained, come out in Jesus' name. All witchcraft is bound in Jesus' name. All spirits are bound in Jesus' name. Come out.
Okay, your mom said you can't stay. Every
How you feeling, sister?
I'm feeling much better.
I'm glad you feel better. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that since you, Lord Jesus, you are her deliverer, that you continue this deliverance for her until it's completed in Jesus' name. Father, I ask that you baptize this sister and the Holy Spirit and fill those empty places with your spirit and grant her her prayer language in Jesus' name. Now, sister, just take a deep breath and cough from your belly and inhale. Release the Spirit of God in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now, what we want you to do is we want you to do some fasting as you are able, and to stay, keep reading the King James Bible and to place a scripture over you during the day and so, and call us back on Wednesday.
Okay.
Right, and we'll be praying for you in the meantime. Didn't
do
you say
now?
DNC and some tumors? We take authority for the tumors, and we cut the blood supply off from the tumors now in Jesus' name. We command them to shrink in the name of Jesus.
Okay, we're going to have to move on. Call us again. Call us again.
On Wednesday.
Okay. Because my Frankie's mother just can't repeat no more.
All right. We'll keep you in prayer.
Okay, let's see. Five.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine.
Praise God. Jesus. Well, this is Peter from New York, and I just want to give you a praise report that I've been going through deliverance and burping the most I've ever burped in my entire life the last couple of days.
Yeah.
And when you were talking about mind control, I did watch some of the Olympics, and I've repented from watching any TV, and I'm going to stop watching TV. In the Olympics, they during the ceremony, they had this big flashing thing going on.
Yeah.
And and there were over 4 billion people watching the Olympics. So it's kind of disturbing. And another thing, that my sister's a nurse, and when she was becoming a nurse, she was working with babies and, helping, I guess, people give birth and stuff like that, and part of the standard procedure is to put silver nitrate in the baby's eyes, and my sister refused to do that. And I've had silver nitrate as a child. I had a cold sore on my lip, and it was so bad I went to the doctor, and that silver nitrate is painful, and it's almost a trauma for infants to have this stuff that is unnecessary to put in their eyes. It killed germs. It's extremely painful, and, you know, I just pray for all the little babies.
Well, let's let Brother Marshall talk to you, because he's a nurse, and he's also a man. Marshall?
I'm here.
Hi, Marshall. Thank you for your prayers last time. I have a couple of things. I have a little list here. I know you have other people. I was praying right before the show, and the Lord showed me to speak wholeness. I felt your prayers this week, and I'm really appreciative of your prayers. Of the spirit of fear has been on my family. I'm just going to tell you, I'm just going to read this quick little thing here. Lord, open doors for work. Lord, for your understanding and your wisdom, to be wise as a serpent and gentle as a dove. I have broken heartedness, woundedness. I worked in the fashion industry, and I know this fashion, spirits, vanity. I've had on forgiveness. You covered a lot, and it was systematic, this show. I really appreciate the Lord's, the Holy Spirit working through you. My cat's meowing. False tongues. I've been associated with some of the top kung fu masters in the world, and I've been through prayers, but I really, I did iron palm, which you bang your hand and dip it in hot herbs, and your hand becomes supernaturally strong. I could bend metal, and you can, I mean, it's witchcraft. So, false judgments, I'm dyslexic, learning disabled. I'm going through the list here. It's a lot of stuff, but as the Lord shows you to pray. When you spoke about this, the Satanist thing, the solitary Satanist, I didn't realize that I've been kind of associated with an Obi, a Jamaican. She says she believes in Christ, and she prays with the blood and everything, and she's done healings, but she uses salts and things to make potions that kind of like cleanse the house and stuff like that. I never had a right feeling about it. And through your last two shows, it's something I'm never going to go back there. You know.
Did you? I did. Hello.
Hi.
Are you still okay?
Okay.
So that's and I was kind of a, so there's a, on YouTube, there's a YouTube channel called Rapture Kitty, and it's Rapture centric on Blog Talk Radio, and these people have made the Rapture an idol, and it's kind of a strange, people are being deceived, they're date setters, and they're continually setting new dates and saying it's going to happen, it's like a lotto ticket, they're being disrespectful to the Lord, and I had called and tried to be kind of a, you know, the intentionality of being taken any moment is one thing, but there's a scornfulness to it. And I tried being a voice of reason, and, you know, I got out of there. And it's just this weird thing happening on YouTube. And I'm feeling to get away from a lot of this media stuff. So I felt to mention that. But I appreciate, you know, I'm kind of rushing through this. This is only my second phone call. So I know this is a process, and it's a lifelong thing. And Jesus has been doing amazing things. He's been speaking to me clearer and clearer. I'm seeing clearer and clearer. I pray that anything in my eyes, like a little thing in my eye, can get in the way from helping someone else. I live with my mom, and she's diabetic, and I have a cat here if you want to, like, he can sense something is going to happen. And that's my feeling about it, is that the United States is in such trouble, you know, spiritually. It's really kind of discerning. And there's a spirit of fear with that, because I can see, if you're awake to what's going on in this world and how our own country and our own government are selling out, and it's very fearful in that.
And I rely on the Lord.
Yes.
Son, let Marshall pray for you, because we got other calls too, and okay, we've only got about 30 minutes left. Okay.
Okay. So Peter, let's, you know, if you're comfortable, just repeat after me for starters. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Father God.
Father God.
I come before you in Jesus' name.
I come before you in Jesus' name.
And I know that all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him the Lord Jesus with whom I have to do. It's a scripture. It says all things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. In other words, he knows what's in our hearts, and he knows where it came from. So, Father, I take responsibility.
Father, I take responsibility.
And I repent.
And I repent.
For entertaining.
Occultic
spirits.
occultic spirits?
For me?
For me?
And my generations.
For me and my generations.
Particularly for my mom and my dad and my grandparents.
Particularly for my mom, my dad, and my grandparents.
And I forgive everyone from my heart.
I forgive everyone from my heart.
Including my generations, going back at least 10 generations.
Including all the generations going back 10 generations.
At least 10 generations.
Even to
on
Adam
both
and
sides
Eve.
Of my family. On
both
sides
side
of my
family.
And I ask you to forgive me and deliver me.
I ask you to deliver me and forgive me.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
And you say in your word, Lord. Lord,
sorry,
you
say,
say Lord, you say in your word.
You say in your word.
In 2 Timothy 4:18.
In 2 Timothy 4:18.
And the Lord shall deliver me.
And the Lord shall deliver me.
From every evil work.
From every evil work.
And will preserve me.
And will preserve me.
Unto his heavenly kingdom.
Unto his heavenly kingdom.
To whom be glory forever and ever.
For whom there is glory for to him
to
forever and ever.
To whom be glory.
To whom to be
to
glory.
To whom be glory forever and ever.
To whom
ever.
Be glory forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, you can look that up. It's in the book. I didn't make it up, okay?
No,
okay.
I don't think that, and I will look at that. Thank you
very
much.
Yeah, it's they toward the end of 2 Timothy. That's the last chapter of 2 Timothy, and it's verse 18. So we thank you, Lord, and you said in your word, call upon the name of the Lord. You say in your word, Lord.
You say in your word, Lord, that we call upon...
Call upon the name of the Lord.
We call upon the name of the Lord.
And you will be delivered.
And you will be delivered.
So I call upon your name, Father, in Jesus' name.
So I call upon your name in Jesus' name.
I call upon your name, Father.
I call upon
your
name,
Father. Name, Father, in Jesus' name.
I call upon your name, Father, in Jesus' name.
And ask to be delivered.
And ask to be delivered.
And I thank you for delivering me.
And I thank you for delivering me.
Now, I'd like you to cough when I get to the spirits, all right? In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whose I am and whom I serve, by the power of the Holy Spirit, every spirit associated with dyslexia and ungodly family order, in Jesus' name I bind you, I command you, loose! Go into the cage immediately, instantly, be brought before the feet of Jesus to be judged before the time, in Jesus' name. Every spirit of ungodly order, in Jesus' name, I cancel your assignments, in Jesus' name, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Every spirit of looking for power and looking for ungodly deliverance and control, in Jesus' name, every witchcraft curse, every foul spirit from witchcraft, I bind you, I command you to be caged and be brought before the feet of Jesus to be judged before the time. All spirits of Leviathan and Kundalini, I command you, have nothing further to do with this brother. I cut off your heads and tails, command, loose him, and up and out, in Jesus' name, go into the cage, be brought before the feet of Jesus to be judged before the time, right now, in Jesus' name, for now is the day of salvation, in Jesus' name, as it is written, in Jesus' name, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, I ask in Jesus' name, you send the Holy Spirit to minister to this brother exactly the way he needs, Father, in Jesus' name. And I thank you for doing so, Lord. I thank you, Father, that you who began a good work in Peter are going to carry it on to completion, in Jesus' name. I ask you, Father, to order all of his thoughts and his steps and give him a hunger and a thirst for righteousness, Father God, in Jesus' name. A hunger and a thirst for the Lord Jesus, for the real word of God, in Jesus' name, because it's only in knowing the truth. Because Jesus said to those Jews that believed on him, if you continue in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. The only way, Peter, we're made free is to continue walking with Jesus. Even as Dr. Pat mentioned earlier in Colossians, I think it was 2, help me, Lord, remember where that was, Colossians 2, 6 or somewhere in there, as you receive the Lord Jesus, so walk ye in him, something to that effect. As you therefore receive Christ Jesus as the Lord, so walk ye in him. Peter, how did you receive the Lord Jesus? How did you come to Jesus originally?
You know, it's kind of vague to me. I had a visitation in a Catholic church when they were talking about the end times, and my Kung Fu teacher was kind of brought me to Christ, but then he left, and I was kind of, I went through confession, I went through, I'm not a practicing Catholic, and I renounced that and went through prayers, you know, of deliverance of that, but I've done the salvation prayer. Even last time I called, Dr. Sabrina brought me through a beautiful prayer of accepting the Lord.
Okay, okay, because a lot of people come to the Lord, there's different approaches. I mean, the Lord, he's a big God, okay? But yeah. Most people have to confess with their mouth that he's their Lord, and they have to believe not just in their head, but in their heart, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, some people do it through Scripture. Some people do it. I heard about a fellow who was an ex-Roman Catholic who did it when he was receiving what the Catholics call Eucharist or, you know, Holy Communion. He actually
mm-hmm.
realized he was receiving Christ, although the Catholic form of it is a little twisted. In fact, it's quite a bit
yeah.
twisted, but that's
yeah,
a
yeah.
whole other story. But anyway, but as long as they're receiving the real Jesus, that's the
because
main
Dr.
thing.
Because Dr. Sabrina did mention in prayers false speaking in tongues, and it kind of concerns me. I just because that's very important in my personal prayers in warfare to have the speaking in tongues. So please keep me in prayer about speaking in tongues. I think of the blood of Jesus when I'm speaking in tongues now, and focusing on that and not letting my mind wander, because I was a dyslexic and I believe that I'm delivered of it, I did have, as a kid, I daydreamed a lot. And that's in certain aspects of athleticism and Kung Fu, you absorb the techniques a lot faster, which aren't techniques when it really comes down to it. Do you know what I mean?
I'm sure Dr. Holliday can tell you about lots of references, but most of the martial arts, and well, they're probably all based on Eastern religions, and they have really nothing to do with knowing the Lord Jesus. They're depending
yeah.
on something
yeah.
other than
Well, I've renounced that, and I've gotten rid of most of those things. I still have some images on my computer I need to get rid of.
Okay. Now, I want to assure you, if you look up Luke 11 and work up to verse 13, a couple of verses before that help. But when you get to verse 13 in Luke 11, it says, if
mm-hmm.
ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Okay, but you have to ask
mm-hmm.
the Father in Jesus' name. And Jesus is the one who baptizes us with the Holy Ghost. But also, if you put a couple of scriptures together, Peter, you'll see in John chapter 14, I think that was for some of the verses Pat had tonight that Dr.
Mm-hmm.
Sabrina listed. In is that where it is, Lord?
The Lord's. I am never letting go of the Lord. The Lord is my
okay,
life.
Okay, well,
and,
he's the one who
after experiencing
keeps...
what I've experienced.
Okay, well, he's
the
one
Lord
keeps...
showed me a scripture
Peter,
that I want.
Peter,
yeah.
Peter, just listen a minute.
In
John 14, I want to read a couple of verses to you here because you were asking about the difference between false tongues and the real. That's why I gave you Luke 11:13. And I want you to look it up because you need to know whether you're asking the Father in Jesus' name. Some people have a problem coming to their Heavenly Father. And I know the vast majority of people, especially Christians, have never had their natural Father tell them, I love you, in a meaningful way.
Mm-hmm.
Has that been your experience also?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm sorry. No. The Lord showed me John 14 before, right after I went.
I don't think
I'm
you heard me at all.
I'm a little snockered in the spirit myself right now, but basically when.
Anyway,
huh?
Peter, I was trying to help you
I'm
here,
with
but
you.
I...
I'm with you. I understand what you're saying. Don't be frustrated. I'm with you. To go to the Father, to go through to the Son is to go to the Father, and the Father is in the Son, the way, the truth, the life. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello,
Peter?
Peter?
Yes.
We've got to get along on down the line because we do have a lot of other calls, but we wanted to talk to you about the martial art thing before you get off the air. Brother Marshall was just trying to make sure that you were going to the Father through Jesus, and it seems that you are. So the martial art, the martial art thing is another spirit, and it works by the spirit of the Kundalini, and it yokes itself down in the pit of your spine, and it's an antichrist rebellion, violence. And go ahead, Dr. Sabrina's just going to quickly call those out of you. And then we want you to fill up and call us again Friday. Go ahead, Dr. Sabrina.
Father, in the name of Jesus, our brother has repented from dealing with idolatry and the martial arts. So, Lord Jesus, you are his deliverer, and we will call the demons out in Jesus' name. We take authority, dominion, and power over every chakra. In Jesus' name, we bind it, cage it, shake it, in the name of Jesus. Every chakra, all antichrist spirits, bound, caged, and chained, all spirits of rebellion, all spirits of anger, all spirits of pride, we bind, cage, and chain. Every spirit of rebellion, bound, caged, and chained, all stubbornness in the name of Jesus. All force spirits, we bind, cage, and chain. In Jesus' name, we bind up spiritual deafness, spiritual blindness, temper, outrage, bound, caged, and chained. Come out of the name for Jesus. Spirit guides, bound, caged, and chained. In Jesus' name. Spirit master, bound, caged, and chained. In Jesus' name. Every spirit, every level that he went to, we bind, caged, and chained. All the demons that came in each level, we bind the gatekeepers in the name of Jesus Christ. Come up and out from the root in Jesus' name. Holy fire on the root in the name of Jesus. Come up and out in the name of Jesus. Show pity. Every mystical spirit, come out in the name of Jesus. Supernatural on the wrong side. Name. All occultic spirits, name. All obedience to idols, come out in Jesus' name. All deities bound and caged in Jesus' name. All other gods bound, caged, and chained. Bowing to angels, bound, caged, and chained in Jesus' name. Come out. Everything in the hand God put there. Bound, caged, and chained. Come out of the hand. Come out of the hand. Come out of the hand. All warring spirits. Zeus, bound, caged, and chained. All mythology. Bound, caged, and chained. Every Babylonian spirit. Bound, caged, and chained. In Jesus' name. Bound, caged, and chained in Jesus' name. All worship. Bound, caged, and chained. Come out of the hand. Idolatrous prayers, bound, caged, and chained, come out in Jesus. Idolatrous vows, bound, caged, and chained in Jesus' name. Shame, bound, caged, and chained. All bound, caged, and chained, come out in Jesus' name. All evil meditations, evil surmises, bound, caged, and chained, come out in Jesus. Come out from the Holy Spirit. Name.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Bob. Praise and Lord. I repent of all my sin, Lord. Thank you.
Bound, chained in Jesus' name. Worship of fallen angels and all fallen angels, bound, caged, and chained. And all Buddhas, bound, caged, and chained. All spirits from the underworld, bound, caged, and chained. Come out in Jesus' name. ancestral spirits bound, caged, and chained in Jesus' name. Bound, caged, and chained in Jesus' name. Idolatrous body postures, bound, caged, and chained in Jesus' name. Your spirit and take this deliverance to completion, Lord Jesus. We give you the praise.
Give you the praise.
Not name, all demonic assignments are canceled now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, guys. If you guys want to I know it's quick, but if the gentleman would like to have my email or something, he's welcome to have that on my phone number.
All right. We'll give him the number if he wants it.
Praise God. Thank you very much, guys.
Okay. God bless
sorry
you.
For anybody's...
No problem. Call us back on Wednesday.
Get in the word.
Fast.
Yep.
God bless.
Okay. Brother I'm right Mark, now.
We're going to take this next call. And we're going to see where is it. Well, it moves around when they get off and I lose my place.
Try 301.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was looking for. 301, you're on the air. Hello? Hello? One more hello and I'll be gone. Hello? Okay. Not available. Do you see the next one?
336?
334.
Oh, 334. Okay.
Yeah. 334, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello. Marshall, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Yeah, well, this is the second call. Let's go.
334.
Okay, we'll go to this other one. 336.
Pastor Pat, Sabrina, hey. Marshall.
Hi.
Yes, how are you?
Hello, just fine. I think that 334 called earlier. It may have been the second call, but however, I think it was Wednesday night when I requested prayer. Oh, by the way, the message was fulfilling, and I'm gonna go back and recast it probably a couple times. After we prayed that things would speed up in my production. Today happened to be the one of the best days I've ever had being in the business. So,
thank you, Lord,
for that. Yeah, I've been doing been in the furniture business for 28 years, and I'd have to say today was the profit margin was the best I've ever had. So. Thanks be unto God. And I knew it was of God when I went to the bank to cash the check because the teller didn't even call to verify the funds. This used to be something that but that's just a minor thing. I think that God he wants to reveal himself more clearly. In respective to his word. And I'm just so thankful for the delivering power of God because it's the power of God into salvation. I can't boast on me at all, but it's all him. It's his work. It's his doings. And I'm so thankful that he sought me out and he chose me And he has ordained y'all to preach the word and to deliver those that have been held captive. And I would urge anyone to call in if there's things that they're dealing with, to call in and not to hesitate, because this is something that I've been waiting for years. I think probably maybe even the third year after I had been born again in the Spirit, and God called and brought me out, and He's even working something even more magnificent. It's a deeper type thing that He's doing in my heart. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing the scales are coming off my eyes more clearly. I can see that the deceptiveness of the enemy and how he's been holding me back. I've dealt with fear for a lot of years, and I think one of the things that was pinpointed about the rock and roll era that I grew up in the early 60s, I was born in 61, so I don't know whether my parents had, I'm sure they were involved in rock and roll at some sort, but I used to always go to those shows and all this other stuff and I could see that in looking back, I can see how I was infiltrated by those demonic forces and how they entered in to my subconscious mind. And I've received deliverance tonight. And even during the week, sometimes I'll be walking along and I continue to God's continually turning up some areas such as those deep furrows that had been damaged, and He's replenishing them with His word, and he's bringing forth more of a refreshing outpouring of His Spirit. And I can see that He's given me more of a boldness now, as before I had to step back and pray about it, but now I just open my mouth and God begins to speak through me. So it's
working.
Yes. So I just praise the Lord.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we bring this brother and everyone that's listening or will recast this broadcast. And we pray, Father, not just for him, but for all those that are listening, and for our family members. We take authority, dominion, and power over the spirit of fear. We repent, Father, of the spirit of fear in our family lines and in our lives. It is truth and traumas in Jesus' name. We repent all the way back to Adam and Eve, Father, in the name of Jesus, because Adam hid from you in the garden. So, Father, we repent on behalf of ourselves and all of our family lines all the way back to Adam and Eve, of traumas and fear in Jesus' name. We take authority, dominion, and power over the devils that entered when fear and trauma attacked us in Jesus' name. We take authority, dominion, and power over the witchcraft, all the rebellion, and all the spirits that came in as we participated in music that is actually worship to the devil in Jesus' name. We bind the pie spirits in Jesus' name. We bind false worship to any spirit. Satan used to be the worship, when he was Lucifer, was the worship leader in heaven. And it is his desire to have men everywhere worship him. But we refuse him worship, and we resist him in Jesus' name. We ask for your forgiveness, and we thank you for your correction, not only for ourselves, but also for all of our family members, all the way back to Adam and Eve, Father. We ask your forgiveness, and we thank you, Lord, that as we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us and to heal us of all unrighteousness. Father, we ask that the Lord Jesus deliver us from all the spirits that entered therein, from all the music earworms that keep playing the worldly music in the back of our heads, and ungodly lyrics and songs, even those that do not appear to be ungodly, but you know they are. We bind their source and their root within in the name of Jesus, and we break every blood sacrifice in the name of Jesus, every spoken curse that was released, every ungodly thing that was done in the dark. We thank you, Father, that you see the hidden things and you know them. And we cancel their effects on our lives in the name of Jesus. Galatians 3:13 says that Jesus became a curse for us. We declare the blood of Jesus over our lives. So now, Father, we bind, cage, and chain every spirit that is related in the name of Jesus. Come up and out of the people of God in Jesus' name. Every one of you, come out now. Give a deep cough.
Every one of them leave. Amen. Now we release the baptism and filling of the Holy Ghost to those places.
In Jesus' name. All the people that are listening, take a deep breath and cough from your belly.
In Jesus' name. Healing over your entire body.
In the name of Jesus.
Brother Marshall, we're coming down to the end of the program. Would you close us in prayer, and we'll just let the brother hang on and pray with us. Go ahead and close us up. Marshall,
Father God, we come before you, Father, with thanksgiving. We thank you, Father, for your extravagant love that even while we were sinners, Christ died for us. However, you want us to change, Father, now that you've translated us, Father, from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. So change us all from glory to glory by the power of your Spirit, Father God, because of the power of your word that's forever settled in heaven. You said, to as many as received him, to them gave you power to become the sons of God, to them that believe on his name. We believe on your name, Lord Jesus. We believe, Father, you sent the Lord Jesus in your name. You've given him the name that's above every name. And you've given him all power in heaven and earth. That leaves no power for the enemy. And we do not yield to the enemy. We submit ourselves to God. We resist the devil. And every one of those foul spirits must flee from us in absolute terror in Jesus' name. And every witchcraft curse coming against us in Jesus' name, we command you to rend nothing, harm no one on the way, and return sevenfold to those that send them unless they repent. In the time frame, Jesus Christ of Nazareth gives them to repent. We cancel every ungodly assignment in Jesus' name. Every spirit of retaliation coming against Blog Talk Radio, Dr. Holliday, Dr. Sabrina, myself, every family member, and everyone is a member of the body of Christ. We cancel their assignments to everyone and their family members in Jesus' name. Every witchcraft curse is canceled and severed and nullified in Jesus' name with the word of God, which is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And as one of the priests under my high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who's purchased me with his own blood, I plead and sprinkle the blood of Jesus over every believer and every one of their family members and all that pertain to each one of us, and over every lintel and every post of every doorway that belongs to a believer in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord. You said, when I see the blood upon the houses where you are, the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. We thank you for that blood protection, Father God. We thank you, Father, for keeping us. Thank you, Jesus. Your eyes are red with wine. We thank you for the power of your blood covenant. Thank you for faith in your Father's name. You said, Father, I'm no more of these are in the world. Keep them through thy own name, those who now serve me, that they may be one as we are. We thank you, Father, for keeping us by the power of your name. The King that sitteth in the throne of judgment scattereth away all evil with his eyes. We thank you for scattering away all evil with your eyes. Your eyes is a flame of fire, as it is written in Revelation. And you're the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In your name, Lord Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue must confess, even the little front of the fallen angel, all of them, they must bow at your name, Lord Jesus, and we give you praise and honor and glory. Father, we don't rejoice that the ungodly spirits are subject unto us, but we rejoice that our names are written in heaven. And you said, this is my covenant with them, the spirit that I put upon you, and the words that I put in your mouth, not to pour out of your mouth, nor out of the mouth of your seed, nor out of the mouth of your seed, from henceforth and forevermore, as it is written in the last verse of Isaiah 59. And we thank you for your word that's forever settled in heaven. And we give you praise and honor and glory, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Jesus, for keeping us. We thank you for delivering us. We thank you for drawing us out of many waters. We thank you for your perfect love that casts out all ungodly fear, that we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, Father, but the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Heavenly Father, continue to deliver all of your children, Father God, and all of their family members. Draw us all afresh to the Lord Jesus, Father, because no man comes to the Lord Jesus save you, draw them, and we thank you for joining us. And Jesus, you said, you did not choose me, but I chose you, and I ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit that shall abide. Father, we desire to be fruitful for you and for your kingdom, and the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we thank you, Father, for giving that honor and glory to your Son, for he laid down his blood, his life, the blood of God, to redeem us, to purchase us with his own precious blood. And we plead that blood, and we thank you, Jesus, for being a wall of fire round about in the glory in the midst for us and all the partakers that are members of the body of Christ. And every spirit of retaliation, every spirit of backlash is returned sevenfold to those that send them in Jesus' name. And we take authority and bind every spirit of Zeus trying to operate in this nation. And Father God, we loose the Holy Spirit to draw and to minister to all of your people as you desire, Father God. You said, in the last days I'll pour forth of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall put on that shall see visions. And on my servants, on my handmaids, in those days will I pour forth of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. We release your Holy Spirit to do his great work, Father God, in changing people's hearts. And we ask you, Father, to open the hearts of those that can be opened. Receive the true word of God. Give them a hunger and a thirst for the truth, for Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by Jesus Christ. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved but the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who has all power, A-L-L, all power in heaven and earth. In Jesus' name, we give you praise and honor and glory, Lord Jesus. And we love you, we praise you, we thank you for loving us first. We love you in response to your great love for us. And we thank you, Father, for sending your Son to pay the price that none of us could have ever paid. And we thank you for redeeming us, King Jesus. Thank you for being our kinsman redeemer. We give you praise and honor. And thank you, Father, for sending your Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to comfort all of us. Thank you, Father, you've not left us as orphans. We thank you for keeping us. We thank you for teaching us and instructing us and leading us all in the right way, in Jesus' name. And when we lie down, we will not be afraid. Yes, we'll lie down, and our sleep will be sweet, in Jesus' name. Thank you. We give you praise, Father. We thank you, Father, for your angels, guardian angels, warring angels, all necessary and beneficial angels, watching over all of your children, Father, continually. We thank you that they're more with us than are with them, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up Patty's relatives to you, Lord God, that has a blood clot on the heart and one someplace and one on the brain, Father, and the other relative that's not well, Father, in the name of Jesus. We ask for your divine intervention, and we take authority, dominion, and power over those blood clots in Jesus' name. We bind them, cage them, and chain them in the name of Jesus. You cannot persist in Jesus' name. We speak the name of Jesus to you now, and we release his power into her body. We thank you, Father, that by your stripes she has been healed. We assign those blood clots, Father, to the blood stripes of Jesus that took care of that. We thank you, Father, for your divine intervention. We thank you for giving the doctors wisdom to know what to do. We thank you for releasing angels to where she is, Father, to minister to her in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, for your guidance, your intervention, your miracle-working power working on her behalf, Father, in Jesus' name. We speak peace into the situation, peace to Patty in Jesus' name, and peace to the other relative that is ill, Father, in Jesus' name. And we say amen to all these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And we're all in agreement.
Yes, and we're going to see you again Friday night.
How about Wednesday?
Today's Friday.
Yeah.
Oh, it just goes by so fast, I can't keep up with it anymore. I just can't take it anymore.
Oh, blah. You can do all things in Christ that strengthens you. We'll talk to you on Wednesday, Brother Marshall.
I love you, Brother. Thank you for coming.
Love you.
And I think Nicole came up and wanted prayer, but she didn't get on the air. So, Father, we all just come into agreement with Nicole. Whatever it is that she needs, you know what's on her mind. And we just join her in agreement of prayer in Jesus' name. And we ask that you bless her and that you will answer whatever it is that was on her heart. We thank you for all of the callers, and we release warring angels over them, all of the people that come up and all of the people that recast. And we continue to pray for your families and our families, and we break the power of recasting spirits toward us. And Father, we just surround ourselves with a wall of fire, the blood of Jesus, and the protection, God, each and every one of us need. And every weapon formed against us shall not prosper. And we do rise up and condemn them tonight. All slandering spirits, every spirit that has risen up, we break the power in Jesus' name. We love you guys.
And no more fear in Jesus' name.
Yeah, fear's gone. Now we got faith. We release faith over all of us.
In Jesus' name.
A bigger measure of faith.
Amen.
Good night, Brother Marshall. And
God bless you and keep you all.
So much. And we
see you Wednesday. God willing.
Amen.
God willing. The Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Redeemer, Savior of the world, wonderful counselor, bright morning star, the lily of the valley. Provide.
you know Jesus Christ is Lord, and He's given a call to you today. He wants to come and live into your heart, be your personal Savior. And the only thing that you have to do is just tell Him you're sorry for your sins. Ask Him to come and be your personal Savior. Oh, yes, He'll come in. He'll be right there. And the wonderful, wonderful thing about it is this. He'll be there from now until the end of the world. And then you'll meet Him face to face. And you'll know that this very day that you asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord. Would you say a prayer with me today? Dear God, I'm a sinner. And I know that I failed. But that's why you came and died on the cross for me. And I ask you, oh God, that you will forgive me of my sins. Yeah, that's right. Just ask Him to come in now. He's waiting for you. Just ask Him to come in now. Yes, there He is. There He is. See, I told you. Don't you feel wonderful now? Don't you feel clean? Don't you feel marvelous? Just because He died on the cross for you. He's your Lord. He's your King. He's today your Messiah. Praise you, Jesus.
Jesus. Jesus. Jesus.